conference in Columbus, Ohio on January 28th and 29th, 2006 with Brother Titus Chu. Message 2.
This morning we talk about the reality of the body of Christ. And tonight we talk about the expression of the body of Christ. You know, we shared this morning, you realize there's a body. This body is organic. This body is universal. There's one unique body of Christ. In these 2,000 years, and you included every born-again, regenerated Christians. This is a marvelous thing. No one can measure. No one can understand how great, how grand, how excellent, how heavenly is such a body. Because we go way beyond our human understanding. So you have to realize, if this is a body of Christ, so unless you know Christ, you will not know the body. The richer you know Christ, the higher you know Christ, the more you enjoy the depth of Christ, the height of Christ, then the more you begin to say, for some reason, I began to have a glimpse of the body. Once you see the reality of the body becomes the controlling element of our life. You know, brothers, we are interesting people. We like to blame everything. If we don't sing well, that's because the ceiling is no good. And if we don't have a good meeting, that is because the carpet take away our voice. If there's anything wrong, that is because the leading brothers are not clear. If we are pretty dead, that is because we're not in the prevailing church life. Everyone is to be blamed beside us. But do you realize? No. It is marvelous that the Lord desires to say, don't blame anyone, don't blame anything, but do you see Christ? Do you apprehend Christ? Do you enjoy Christ? Do you lay hold on Christ? Do you experience Christ? Is Christ your reality? Is Christ your sufficiency? Is Christ everything to you? Is Christ your all total satisfaction, total enjoyment? Is Christ your strength? Is Christ your hope? Is Christ your future? Is Christ your living? When you answer, I have only Christ, now you begin to see the body. Because the body is organic, and this organic body is the body of Christ. This is marvelous, brothers. Young people like to work. You know, we have three young men's church. One in north of Pittsburgh, one in Cleveland Heights, another is in Columbus Hall 2. One thing I want to let you know, Brother Bill Gilbert, they don't see the body. Because they don't see the body. So they're aiming at how do we gain more people? How do we gain increase? How can we make ourselves more success, more unique? How can we make ourselves higher than those old men who are in the hall one? Because we're in hall three. And we forgot, it's those people you don't really appreciate. Finance you, raise you up, provide an environment, encourage you to go. They give everything for you. Yet here you turn around, what kind of brothers are you, older ones? I don't like see good or bad. I say that. You know, this comment means you don't see the body. He said, how about you, Titus? I will say, I got to be careful. If I overly criticize you, young one, don't understand us. We fight for you. We give our life to you for you to go on. Now you look at us like this. Then I don't see the body either. The body is marvelous. The body has nothing but Christ. You know, Nathan, you are such a good general. you should bring some of the Ohio State University student, your converts, and bring them to Hall 1 and tell them, brother, I want to show you my source. You will be surprised. These brothers are ancient. These brothers are aged. These brothers don't know how to function. These brothers are a bunch of hopeless, but they know how to raise us up. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? Amen. Suppose it's not true. Suppose I have a father who is a caretaker of a property of a school. And he doesn't have much. He barely makes a living. And he himself is not educated. Then he make an effort, he works 2 jobs, 3 jobs, so finally I can have college education. I should be proud of him or ashamed of him. Do you get my point or not? If you really see the family, there's a real story. The real story is this young man, the father loved the son, sent some food from the country to the city to give to his son. And they all look at him, what a lousy, simple countryman. So they ask a young man, who is this one? The young man is so stupid, he's embarrassed. He says, oh, he's just a servant in our household. You know how stupid he is? That is the best chance to say, hey, wait a minute, you know who is he? Oh, he's the greatest man on this earth. He doesn't have much to eat. He lives very simple. Yet he will do everything for my growth. You know, I'm in university. I'm a student. I have a future because he paid a price. Do you get my point or not? I tell you, then the whole school would come honor the father and say, you are the greatest father in this university. Why? Because you gave everything. Yet you have a far sight for your son. You know, brothers, if you young brothers, with your marvelous, prevailing, beautiful house free, and sometimes you bring a few to tell them, I tell you, that's where I come from. I'm always amazed. Seems they don't even know how to talk. Seems they don't know how to read the Bible. But they can raise us up that you can hear the gospel because they pay a price for our going on. That is only, you know, what I give you a story is only a physical, organic family. Now we'll talk about a spiritual, organic body. Oh, how glorious that is. That day, I tell you, that day, the day the Lord come back, I wish you were not left on the globe alone. I wish you will meet him in the air. At that time you'll say, wow, I can't believe. Oh, here comes Apostle Paul. Oh, here comes Apostle Peter. Here comes so-and-so. And we all are in this marvelous one body. Oh, isn't that good? You know, so brother, we number one, we have to say, praise the Lord, I'm saved. Once I'm saved, I become a member of the body of Christ. I'm saved so that I become part of the body. I'm a member, I'm of a part. Whatever that is, I am with the body, in the body, joined to the body, organically in union with other members in the body. And this one universal mystical body, what? Has its expressions. The expressions, so good, are the local churches. Isn't that marvelous? Every local church is an expression of the body of Christ in that locality. Isn't that good? There's a church in Columbus. And the church in Columbus is not necessarily that prevailing. Am I right? I like what Paul says. As is considering you, not many are high upbringing, not many with high education. You are a group of common people, but God has raised you up. Amen. Brother, isn't that true? The only place impressed me was Dayton. Dayton only have maybe 15 Chinese-speaking saints. And is that Dayton or Indianapolis? I forgot now. 5 professors in university. Everyone in the gathering is PhD. That's why I look at them. That's why you're not so hopeful. Because you are so well educated. You think you really are somebody. They are not. They never. I mean, with Matthew John takes the lead, not the one is puffed up. Matthew John is the most humble person on this globe. Most sweet, most tender, most humble. I tell you, brother, oh, I'm happy. We all are not that much. You know, we don't have, not all of us have PhDs. Not all of us have a master or college. And not all of us know how to play with that little box you call the computer. Many of us are illiterate electronically. Is that English? Every time you see the box, you get scared. You don't know if you touch it, what's going to happen. It may blow up or may erase many hours' labor, which is true. I heard one brother transcribe many, many messages ready to be, edited. Then one brother came back. That is Bill Osborne. He's here. Bill? Where, he went home? Yes, he was sick. Yeah, he was in yesterday or this morning. But anyway, Bill Osborne went to that brother's home and said, "Hey, brothers, how are you?" And he looked at it. Days labor are all gone. Just boom. After I heard the story, I told myself, don't touch computer. You don't know what is in there. Maybe you touch a certain key, boom, blow up. Then I have to be in trouble. Brother, we are not that much, but we're very happy. We are not that much, yet we are the expression of this universal, organic, unique body of Christ as his expressions. We are his expressions. So here number one says, every local church is the expression of the body of Christ. Every local church is expression of the body of Christ in that locality. As Paul declared to the saints in the church in Corinth. Paul told the church in Corinth in what way? Now, you are the body of Christ. And members individually. I know that. There was a teaching. The local church is not the body. That's wrong. But I know that. Many Christians declare, we have a local body, we have a local body. That is just as wrong. A local church is expression of the body of Christ in that locality. Praise the Lord. There is a body of Christ in Columbus. There is also a body of Christ in Dayton. There is also a body of Christ in Cincinnati. Brother Buck, you don't have many brothers meet with you, but there is a body of Christ in Cambridge. Am I right? How many body now? Columbus body, Cambridge body, Dayton body, Cincinnati body. 4 bodies already. Isn't that scary? Jesus got so many bodies. How many bodies actually? One body. How come still one? There's 4 bodies already. Don't say 4 bodies. Say 4 expressions of one body. Amen. Do you get my point? 4 expressions of one body. One day, one brother went to a city, had a conference. In a conference, he stressed the body. He stressed the body universal. Therefore, you got to do a certain thing to be in the flow so you can be in this body. So the elder, he's a fighter. Actually, he's a Singaporean. You know, Singaporeans are very good with argument and fight. He's a medical doctor, a Singaporean. See, he wrote to that brother and said, "Brother, let me ask you, if according to what you say, how would you explain the verse Paul told the church in Corinth, you are the body of Christ?" And that brother wrote back, what's more funny? I saw the letter. I can't believe it. The brother says, if this church is a body, and that church is body, Another church body. How many bodies Jesus have? Oh, I tell you, that was one supposed to decide our truth. I look at it and say, he doesn't even know. When we see the body, we do mean the body. We mean the expression of the body. So how many body? One body. How many local churches? Thousands of local churches. So every local church is a body of Christ, yet how many body of Christ? Only one. Do you get my point or not? Where are you from, young girl? You. You're from Columbus. Huh? Are you sure? I almost going to ask you, when did it say state? Sorry, because she looked like your sister or something, and you two look alike. Oh, praise the Lord. You, sister, mom, you have a marvelous son. Even though he's an SKP from Cleveland, he's still marvelous. He's a mom. You have, sister, you should be very happy, very proud that you have a son in Columbus. Am I right? And he is a member of the body of Christ in Columbus. And I am, sister, I'm sorry. I tell you, the body in Columbus doesn't mean that much because it's not prevailing. It's not that good. I'm from the body in Cleveland. Cleveland body is good. Everyone's aged. Everyone's ancient. Everyone's old. No dynamo. And everyone's peaceful and restful, ready to go to someplace. You know, brother, when I say this, you should have a feeling, Brother Titus, either you are out of your mind or you make fun too much. How can you have a greater body in Cleveland and lesser body in Columbus? Because there's only one body. Expressing Columbus in a way for Christ. Expressing Cleveland also Christ. You touch every local church. You should see, oh, in the church life, I touch Christ. Because every local church is expression of the body of Christ in that locality. The letter from that brother asked if there every local church is a body, how many body Lord Jesus Christ have, the whole thing doesn't even make sense, illogical. Because there's only one body, yet with many expressions. Sister, it's okay, I ask you, huh? You know, Seth, sorry, your last name? Evans, yeah. The Evans family, there was one time. The Evans family at least has two expressions. One in Columbus, one in Cleveland. Am I right? When I want to see Evans family, in Cleveland, I see Seth. In Columbus, I see you. Do you get my point? How many families is this? One family. Expressed in two places. But this is only human explanation. Divinely speaking, it's much more than that. The church in Columbus is the church in Cleveland. The church in Cleveland is a church in other localities. They are identical. They all are of Christ. They all are with Christ. They all are expressing Christ. They all are testifying Christ. They all are declaring Christ. They all are existing for Christ. That every local church must say the church is Christ. Amen. Oh, isn't that good? Says. So there's no need to escape from Cleveland. Columbus, Cleveland, they are okay. Why? Because they all are the expression of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Then we come to point two. This local expression of the body comes to reality. In other words, it can be very doctrinal. It has to be to become a reality. It can only become a reality through the servants of the Lord. So I tell you all, any local church deny the servants of the Lord. Any local church declare, we only care for Christ and nobody else, they're not grow. Any local church, we belong to a headquarters and no one else, they are not the church. A real church always receiving help from the servants of the Lord. You know, Bucky, just think about it, right? The first time I went to his place, that's interesting, huh? He has a very good church life, about 20, 25 of you, very happy. And one day he invited us to come, so we went. You know, my wife rarely says something. We have a good time, we have a good meeting, then we have a little relaxed time, playing ball, whatever, I don't remember. On the way back, all of a sudden my wife sits by me and says, "Now the good days of that brothers are over." You know why? Because the Lord's servants are coming in. And aren't you surprised? There is a brother. His name is Scott Rocco. Do you know him? For some reason, he has a burden for you brothers. Did he? I believe so, right? For some reason, he came. Don't think I sent him. Don't think any brother sent him. The Lord sent him. He is a servant of the Lord. As a servant of the Lord, he prayed. And the Lord told him, visit the brothers in the church in Cambridge. Amen. And he began to visit you, right? Because of visiting of Brother Scott Rocco. You brother don't even know who he is, right? He is called the Brother Unknown. He's not as famous as Brother Nathan. Nathan, you are famous. He's not as famous as Brother Seth. Seth is famous. And he's not as famous as Brother Jeff. You are famous too. You know, this is a brother. Possibly most of you don't know. Do you know who is Scott Rocco? Praise the Lord, you know. Do you know who is Scott Rocco? You don't. I hope he can come there and say, may I introduce to you a Lord's servant, Scott Rocco. I tell you, one thing I'm impressed. He always before the Lord and asks, Lord, where do you want to send me? Then he comes to your place. I'm right. Once he came, you got the help. Because the Lord's servants come to bring you to the reality of the body for Christ. How do they do it? Number one, in position. These servants are the prisoners of Christ Jesus who have received the stewardship for a local church. You know, who are the Lord's servants? The Lord's servants are prisoners. Do you get my points? I tell you, I like it because I'm a free man. You know, many times I like to quote Paul's word, am I not free? So I begin to think, oh, I should go take a vacation. Am I not free? So I begin to think, I should visit some of the sites. Especially recently, I read a novel written by the Nobel Prize winner of Chinese author. A portray the mountains in the inner southwest side of China. Oh, every night I read about 15, 20 pages, or 10 pages, or 5 pages, so that I can go to sleep. When I read it, I just had a feeling, Lord Jesus, I need a vacation. Lord Jesus, I need a vacation. I mean, let's face it, everybody has vacations. Why we don't have vacations? We don't have vacations for many years. That's not right. That's not fair. What is this? And the Lord would answer, what do you want a vacation for? I want to visit all these mountains. I want to go see all these mountains. I want to see all these kind of men's living. Oh, brother, very interesting. Many times I pray, the Lord answer, vacation granted. I say, praise the Lord, thank you. Go there to preach the gospel. That's your vacation. You want to go? Go there to preach gospel. Why? You are a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Amen. Says, I tease you. So don't take my word seriously. I say, oh, brother says it's SKP from Cleveland. This is just a joke. It's not true. I'm happy you serve the Lord. But do you realize, sister, your son is finished. Oh, that's... Can you take my word? No hope. No future. He's a prisoner. But a heavenly prisoner. You don't have to go to visit him in Columbus jail. He's jailed in the heavenlies. And he will declare, I am a servant of the Lord, therefore I am a prisoner. I'm a prisoner, what? I'm a prisoner of what? Of Christ Jesus. Now, these prisoners who have received the stewardship for a local church. Oh, this is not easy. Brother says, come on. Don't you have a simple word for prisoner? Don't you have a simple word for prisoner? You can also translate to slave. This word can also translate slave. But okay, let's use the word prisoner. Oh, prisoner says, you are in prison. He's in prison now. In prison by what? He's in prison by Christ Jesus. Isn't it marvelous, right? Then my question is, in prison for what? Oh, all of a sudden, my sweet brother do not know how to answer. In prison for what? For house rape. You know, they did a good job. You know, 25 went. They brought 25 new ones. Isn't that marvelous? In 4 months. But of course, this 25 may come in 3-4 years ago, but all counted in this 4 months. Am I right?
25, yeah, in these 4 months.
Many were brought in last year?
About 6. Not including those 25, so about 31 including that.
Is he telling the truth, Nathan? He said you have 31 new ones. 6 from last year, 25 from this year. Can you speak louder? I mean, you have to fight with. That's not right. Because last year you gained 20. This year you gained 6. So total 26. Jeff, am I right? See how good that we argue. It's 25, it's 31. So why are you a prisoner? I'm for the 31. The Lord will say, you nuts. I never called you to have 31. I never called you to have 321. I don't even care 32,100. I don't care even 31 millions. I care. Do you know? Let's read it. A prisoner here must have received the stewardship for a local church. Is that 21 for a local church? 31. Yes, 31 for a local church. Then why they cannot come to church meeting? I love these brothers. Nathan, can you come up too? So I can hold you both. I love them. Oh, they are so lovely. Oh. They give their life to house three and they gain 31. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got 30 now. Oh, okay, just 30. Suppose there's one in front of us. We got 31. Hallelujah. 31. Amen. 31. The Lord says, wait a minute. 31 doesn't mean anything. 310 doesn't mean anything. Every people saved, the Lord will be so happy. But Lord says, I want you to have a stewardship. I want you to have a stewardship for the church in Columbus. Amen. What do you have?
Stewardship.
He would answer, what do you have? What do I have? This year, guarantee 50 in campus. Well, brother, I'm not joking. There was a city, 100 full-timers work for a whole year, gain 50, and many are Chinese, the second-class people. Now they gain 50 white or some black. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you think the Lord will be so happy? Oh, I'm so happy. Finally, there are 50. Hallelujah. Oh, the church so fruitless. Finally, you two pillars so great. You have brought him 50. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so happy. You know, the Lord say, I like it. Every people get saved. I like it. Every people brought to church. I like it. But do you know what your commitment? Not number, but the stewardship for the testimony of the Lord. So Paul says, I have received a stewardship on behalf of you. There's an exercise I got. I labor for what? The church. I preach gospel for what? The church. I bring people up for what? The church. I labor day and night, give myself, give my life to it for what? The church. I only care for the local churches as the Lord's testimony.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Good?
Nathan, isn't that good?
Amen.
Oh, isn't that good? I'm so happy. Isn't that good?
Yep.
Do you like it?
I like it.
Do you like it?
I like it.
Oh, I like it too. Isn't that marvelous? Rather than where are you from? Hawaii. How many you got? Between 40 to 60. How many years have been there? Between 40 to 60 years. How many you have? 31. How long have you been there? 90 days. Every 3 days, every 4 days, we gain one fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord Jesus said, this one, too old. This one, too zealot. Too much zealot. Remember? Lord says, I don't like zealot. I don't like oldness. I like to see you brothers. You brother. I like to see you, brother, become a steward.
Amen.
A prisoner of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Then I tell you, all your freedoms come. You know Nathan? One day he shaved. I'll buy him a big cake. But I can't tell him to shave because he would ask me, show me one Bible verse that you should shave. Actually, everybody in the Bible has a long beard. So why you, brother, don't follow the Bible exactly and shave, you stupid? So I lost my case. But I do know that, Brother Nathan.
Yeah.
Am I okay to talk about it?
Sure, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Sister, what's her name?
Jeannie.
Huh?
Jeannie.
If she go back and get upset, you call me immediately. I'll drive over to apologize to him. So he can sleep at peace. You know, and look at him. After he get married, he really put on weight. Am I right? And he's getting bigger and bigger. Usually, I mean, he was big already, but now he's really big. I mean, I'm pretty big. Beside him, I become small. Beside this part. Am I right? Oh, I tell you all, sometimes he says, house three have to go on this way. If you don't go on this way, I quit. Did you do this?
Kind of.
You see. Don't think people told me. Your character told me. You will be a great leader. And all the great leaders have this kind of disposition. Huh? You don't want me? I go to another place. You don't do this way? I quit. I tell you, brother, but you are a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Aren't you? Aren't you a prisoner of Christ Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the right to say I quit?
No.
So to say I quit means I commit sin. I'm right. A prisoner escaped from the jail. Isn't that a sin? That's a crime. So are you a prisoner of Christ Jesus? So dare you say I quit?
No.
No. Jeannie, keep a record. In 2006, this year is right. I'm right? January, February, whatever that is. What day is today? January, February. Okay. In 2006, January 28, 8 o'clock, 5 past 8, our brother Nathan declared he is a
prisoner.
Prisoner of what?
Christ Jesus.
No escape. Aren't you a prisoner?
Yes.
So what's wrong by saying no escape?
There's nothing wrong.
So declared.
I will not escape from Christ.
Amen.
From the prison Christ has given to me.
From the prison Christ has given to me.
Amen. Oh, brother, don't just get what? 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 What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you say? Huh? I, brother, do you know it's so good? Who are we? Brother tender and brother firm, with the brothers what in between. We three are all prisoners of Christ Jesus. Amen. Our life is imprisoned by Christ. Yet where we are, the heavenly prisoners, we receive a stewardship. For what? For a local church. You are not for a hall. You are not for young people work. You labor with young people. You work with young people. And we praise the Lord for the new ones you brought in as through the young people's meeting. That is marvelous. Am I right? But at the same time, don't be careful. You have to say, Lord, I don't want others to be saved, yet myself were not blessed by you. I like to be blessed by you. I like to be a prisoner. I like to carry out the stewardship. So, Brother Bill, the three co-workers, Jeff Fern's oldest, declared he takes the lead yesterday. With the support of these two marvelous brothers, they are going to write you a proposal how the church in Columbus can be most blessed. And as prisoners, you can chop it, you can throw it away, and tell them, do it again, because they cannot escape. Do I make sense?
It makes sense.
Yeah, do I make sense? Do you agree?
I don't quite understand what you're saying.
Say, make a proposal. Tell Bill, we have a steward, we are stewards, stewardship, we have stewardship on behalf of the church in Columbus. Mm-hmm. Because this, the church in Columbus, number one should do this, number two should do this, number three should do this, number four pursuing this way, number five pursuing this way, number six laboring this way, number seven laboring that way. Do you get my point? Mm-hmm. Now, elder look at it and say, what is this? Go back and rewrite. You cannot say, no, because you are a prisoner. You have to say, yes, brother, and go back and talk with each other. They vetoed everything. What should we do? Then the Lord will say, fast and pray. So the three all kneel down. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us. We do need stewardship. Oh, Lord Jesus. Wow, how good is a church life like this? How marvelous a church life like this? You know, who are the servants that caused the church life to become a reality? Number one, there are prisoners of Christ who has received a stewardship for a local church. Thank you. Then in this, their content, thank you. The content of, or the only content, they know only the mystery of Christ. In other words, I'm a steward. As a steward, exercising my stewardship, then what? I dispense. Buck, you know, I understand steward by you. You may not understand, you might remember. Anyway, one day I visit you. I was still a young man, comparatively. And you invite me to a real nice American restaurant. Not in Cambridge, if not close by the Cambridge. That is first time I realized how a steward's, that's waitress, how waitress exercise the stewardship. You remember she gave us a menu, and we all look at the menu. I look at it, wow, $25 per each piece, whatever. Just expensive. So I try my best to select a cheaper one. But they're all about the same. They're all expensive. So I pick up something. You know, interesting. We talk, and we look, we pick up. The moment we put it down, she appears, the lady. She comes. Are you ready? I look at her. Where have you been? How do you know we are ready? Just by put down. The later I learned the lesson. Every time you go to a restaurant, before you decide what to order, don't put it down. Because you bother your stewards. You know, brother, we put down, she come. Remember that? You may not remember. You don't remember. I remember clearly you are the host. That is time. I read the Bible. I say, Lord Jesus, can I be that attentive to the church needs? You know, the sons are just like those who reading the menu. I'm right. Christ are the content of the menu. When the son says, I need the lamb or chop. Do you have a food called lamb chop or chop lamb, something like that? Lamb chop. Oh, I need the lamb chop. So when I put it down, the elders is beside you. Can I help you? Then the sons began to order lamb chop. I don't know whether that's quite the medium rare ware or whatever. I don't know lamb chop going that way. Whatever. They may ask you the medium well. But anyway, it's all the medium well, rare, medium well, whatever. Well done, finally. So they ordered. I tell you, who are the elders? Who are the servants of the Lord? The servant Lord, the Lord, see their need. See the need of the saints. And then carefully make sure the chef did it right. You know what I mean? And serve to the saints. Okay, saints, this is something for you to enjoy, for you to be satisfied, for you to be strong, and for you to grow. Who am I? I am a steward. I am a serving one to serve you according to your need and according to the rich menu of Christ. I'm very happy. Every local church is a dining hall. And I'm very happy. In every local church, they only sell one item of food, that is Christ. But I'm most happy. This Christ can be cooked in many, many ways. Take my word, good way, huh? Understand in a good way. Roasted Christ. Lean Christ. Fried Christ. You say, oh Lord Jesus, what are you talking about? That's why I say, try your best to understand me and don't try to misunderstand me. Otherwise, I teach heresy. We can fry Christ. But brother, do you realize everyone who walks the dining hall, everyone walking the church life knows there's nothing but Christ. And there's nothing served but Christ. Yet Christ was served in so many ways for so many people to be totally satisfied. We don't serve one kind of food. You don't walk into a restaurant. What do you have? Nothing but baked potato. Well, there's nothing wrong with food, right? Praise the Lord for baked potato. And somebody loves baked potato. I'm the one. People ask me, you want a smash, how do you call that thing? Mashed, you want a mashed potato, or French fry, or a home fry, or baked. I was baked, because it tastes good. Brother, I don't mind if I go to a restaurant, there's only baked potato, hallelujah. But not everybody only wants baked potato, right? And I don't look at others, he said, no, I don't want potato, I want some vegetable. I look at him, what kind of person are you? Are you in the flow? The flow is baked potato. Why don't you eat baked potato? If you eat something other than baked potato, you're not in the flow, because the flow is baked potato. Brother, no. A stewardship, good stewards, know the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? The heart desire, the riches of Christ, with heart desire of Christ, dispense to produce a healthy church life. That is the mystery of Christ. So Paul says, I know the mystery of Christ. I'm a heavenly steward. As a heavenly steward, I serve this marvelous Christ in many, many ways for the saints to grow, for Christ to be satisfied. And more than that, eventually you can say, the mystery of Christ is just the church. The mystery of God is Christ. The mystery of Christ is just the church. I really know the church. But remember, when we talk about the church, he talks about Christ. The church existence in every aspect, in every way, in all substance, cannot be depart from this marvelous Christ. And more than that, in labor, how do they labor? They are ministers participating in the operation of his power to announce the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. So in labor, how do I labor? I announce Christ. Not announce Christ. I announce the riches of Christ. Okay, young girl, I'm happy to see you three again. You are from Lorraine, right? I found out your dad is John Schmickens. And your dad is Steve. And your dad is Ted, right? Oh, that's so good, so good. You three here represent three beautiful families. Do you know the riches of Christ? Do you understand what is riches of Christ? You know, brother, many times say, Christ, 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 Christ. Brother, no, no, no. You talk about salvation. Oh, Christ is rich. You talk about justification. Oh, Christ is rich. You talk about sanctification. Oh, Christ is rich. You talk about maturity. Oh, Christ is rich. You talk about spiritual reality. Oh, Christ is rich. You talk about the existence of Christian life in the church life. Oh, Christ is rich. So eventually, a good servant of the Lord, whatever they do, wherever they do, they only minister the riches of Christ to the local church, to the saints in the local churches. They minister the riches of Christ. Think about it. Young sister, you're in the middle, huh? In the middle. Because I talk with you a lot already. Can you give us the riches of the blood of Christ Jesus? No. Okay, Brother Whitfield. Sister Steve's daughter. Can you tell me the effectiveness of the dispensing of the divine life? The effectiveness of the dispensing of the divine life. Sister Ted's daughter. Is that English? Yes, that's English, okay. Can you tell me the riches of resurrection? You see, now we get caught, right? We got so many terminologies. We know so many terminologies. We declare so many things, we don't know what we're talking about. Yet Paul here says, if I talk about anything, very cheap, very easy. I want a Bible study, very easy. I want to do something spiritual, very easy. But when I want to talk about the unsearchable riches of Christ, I do need the heavenly power. I do need to be strengthened. That I am a minister participating in the operation of the power, that the resurrection power, ascending power, enthroning power. I'm participating in the resurrecting power, in the ascending power, in the enthroning power for me to announce the riches of Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, brother, isn't that marvelous? Everything you have is heavenly. Everything that is heavenly is with unsearchable riches. The unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. So in labor, he says, every time whatever come out from my mouth is related to the riches of Christ. And whenever I pronounce something, is related to my participating in that power of resurrection. You know, sometimes a brother talk with me, Titus, I'm amazed. I say, amazed at what? Amazed at you. I say, that's right. I'm 70. I'm still fine. No. He said, no. I'm amazed. Seems nothing bother you. Do you get my point or not? Well, all kind of language, all kind of word. I almost, my nickname's like Satan or something. And you are still joyful. You are still happy. You are still serving the Lord. You are still announcing the unsearchable riches of Christ as a gospel. Then I tell you, brother, let me tell you, I only have one secret. I try not to let myself disjoin to the power that is in resurrection, in ascension, and in enthroning. My secret is not I can, but oh, what a power that's operating in us. So people can do everything. Men can do everything. I still insist we have nothing, but we announce nothing but the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. So eventually, in its effectiveness, that the saints are strengthened with power. Because I'm partaking of such a power. So through my ministering, through my serving, the saints are strengthened in the power. How do you know they are strengthened with power? Through the Spirit into their inner man. Don't you like it? Brother, do you realize? You have two men, right? Actually, you have three men, but let's say you are two men. You have the outer man, and you have the inner man. The outer man is a decaying man. Is that English? The man that declining or decaying day by day, weakened. You know what? Consumed day by day. But there is also a man called inner man. Sister, let me tell you. 30 years ago, I was 40. I can give a message. I can give messages after messages continuously with power. And I'm strong. But I tell you, today, outwardly, I become a comparatively old man. That's why you see, they have mercy, right? Every time they prepare this, they prepare a chair. You know, if I'm very weak, I sit down. If I'm semi-weak, I hold on the back and talk. So some strength, right? If I'm okay, I just forget about it. Why? Because they say, Titus, you are old. Or you are ancient already. But brother, I tell you something interesting. That within there's a man. The man in me is much more fresher, mature, solid, prevailing in compared with 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I have a strong outer man, but comparatively weaker inner man. 30 years later, I have a comparatively weaker outside man, but my inner man is strengthened. You know, who are the right church life? Now, who are the right minister, produce the right church life? Those who are able to strengthen you into your inner man. You come to the meeting, you enjoy the meeting, come to Bible study, you read the word, you fellowship with the brothers, you pray. Afterward, you realize, wow, my inner man is so strengthened. Not I feel good, but there's a man in me. The man live out through me because this inner man is strengthened. Don't you like it? So all the local churches need the servant of the Lord. Who are they? They are the prison of Christ. What do they minister? The mystery of Christ. How do they labor? They labor in the power to announce the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then, what is their effectiveness? By their labor, you are brought into the strengthening of the inner man. Brother, you understand what I say? Do you like it? I tell you, I really like it. I'm very thankful. Sometimes you brother say, oh, Brother Titus, you minister very well. I sometimes answer, you brothers, your support is doing so well. Because after I give you the message, I'm so strengthened into my inner man. Isn't that good? Marvelous. We'll come to that tomorrow. But anyway, Roman numeral 3. In the local church life, all the saints are diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. I tell you, this logic here is very hard to understand. For instance, we should write in this way, right? One Spirit, one body, one hope. One Lord, what? One faith, and one baptism, and one God. Shouldn't it go that way? Spirit, Lord, and God. Am I right? But for some reason, the writer here, Paul here wrote, the body, in other words, all the coming six items come just for this one body. And you need diligently to keep the uniting bond of the oneness, peace in the church life. Keep the oneness in the body. Here he says, because we have only one body. In other words, what do we see tonight? One body. What do we see in every century, in every place, people say, one body. You know, sometimes unbelievers ask a question, says, how come you are Christians? How come you are with so many different names and different denominations? Usually that's a good time for us to educate people. That's because they all are wrong and only we are right. Don't you do that? If I ask you, how come in Columbus there are so many different Christian groups? Isn't that your answer? Oh, because division is wrong. And what? Only we are right. Brother, be careful. Yes, division is wrong. Definitely division is wrong. But still you need to see one body. This one body is a very interesting thing. For instance, we see us here, one body. Am I right? And then the Gentiles see Christians, one body, right? And then in the 2,000 years, there's only one body, right? This one body means one expression. I'm very happy here's the body here. One body now meeting in Columbus. Wherever we are, where we are in Columbus, where we wherever we come from, as long as we're in Columbus, we are part of the church in Columbus. And we bear the testimony of the Lord in Columbus. And there's one body, one what? One expression. What attracts us? What attracts us? It's not a uniformity. It's a oneness. Do you know the difference between uniformity and oneness, right? You know, military men are very attractive. When they march through, right? Quack, 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 quack. You say, wow, this is surely powerful. But that's uniformity. Sometimes you see something in one body. There's no uniformity. You know, just these two brothers, Buck. Sorry, I'm Bill. Don't you see the differences? One half the white hair grow here. How do you say this? Grow on the
goatee.
No. Grow here. How do you call this part?
Chin.
Grow on the chin.
Ah.
And he has white hair grow on top. It's very interesting. Brother, how come your white hair grow down and his white hair grow up? Isn't that? You look at it, oh, what is this? But the interesting is this. And there's another one, slimy white. I hate it. I like his all white. It's beautiful. You see how beautiful this white hair. And look at this, it's not as pretty, it's ugly. Actually, when you are either dark, black, or white, they're pretty. You messed up, it's very ugly. So I look at my hair, I hate it, I almost want to take a crew cut. Then I think it's too much for me to get a crew cut, I will catch cold. I tell you, brother, the interesting thing, they don't show uniformity. They're not the same. They don't look alike. Right, he's pretty sober. You look at him, you know he's sober, right? If you listen to him speak, you'll be surprised how sober he is. He would answer, yes, brother. That's right, brother. Sometimes scare you, know, how come? He's so serious. How come you're so serious, Brother Buck?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. And this one, hi, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. But the interesting is, they're one, aren't we one? One body. You still find one expression. One expression of what? Christ.
Amen.
You see Christ here? You see Christ here? You see Christ here? And you see one Christ expressed through this one body.
Amen.
Do you remember? Yet, with this one body, not only there's expression. In this expression, there consists at least five items plus one. First, it consists, thank you, it consists of one spirit. Why is one spirit? Because spirit, here says, is executor with his essence. The church, the body, is executed by the spirit. The spirit's operation takes on the church life. The spirit's operation carries the body life. So the spirit is the executor with his essence. And one hope of calling. That's what? We have one stand and one living. Calling is related to our living. Hope is related to our stand. We stand because we have a hope. We stand as a Christian. We stand of loving the Lord because we have a hope. We have one calling. Because of calling, our daily life is regulated according to that calling. Do you get my points or not? I tell you, brother, maybe I say this. You three young girls from Lorraine, right? Are you all good student or best student or common mediocre student? Are you all good students? You are a good student, right? Do you ever get any award? You do. Suppose when you get an award, what do? I tell you, you prepare yourself. There's a calling. You know that, right? There's a calling. On a certain date, the school is going to give the award to the best math student, best English student, best Hua Hua student. I tell you, that day before you go, sister, because you're going to receive a word, you prepare yourself. You would comb your hair much more careful. You would dress yourself much more careful. Do you get my point? You won't go like this. What's the difference? Hallelujah. You won't, right? Because you know it doesn't match the calling you have. You have a calling. The calling cause you to have a certain kind of living. You know, when you see the body, then you eventually you say, I see the body as an expression of this Christ. Because of that, oh Lord, I want the Spirit to be the executor. May the church life be filled in Spirit. May the church life, the Spirit controls. May in the church life, the Spirit operate, the Spirit lead, the Spirit encourages, and more than that, all the saints also testify, oh Lord, we see the calling. You call us to be overcomers. You call us to bear your testimony. You call us to be the local churches unto your purpose. Because of that, we take care of our daily life. Isn't that good? So you have one body with one Spirit and what? One hope of the calling and one Lord. The Lord is creator. Without the Lord, there's no church, right? The church is created by the Lord with what? With his substance. It's not empty to empty. It's empty to reality. Formerly there was nothing. For over 4,000 years, God is waiting for substance for him to abide in. Right? He tried to get Abraham and tried to be with him. Then he eventually got Israelites. He tried to be with him. Then he built the temple. He tried to abide in the tabernacle. Am I right? Eventually, with all this, God says, I am not satisfied. I need something spiritual, heavenly, matches me to be my abode. Is that clear? Therefore, I desire to have the church. I create the church with himself as a substance for him to abide. Do you get my point or not? No matter how nice your dog pond is, dog house is, you never live in there, do you? You understand what I mean? When you are very wealthy, so you prepare a big house, place for the dog. Would you one night get so excited, go there, hold your dog? Hey, doggy, I love you. Let's sleep here overnight. Because you know they don't match you. That is for dog and not for you. And Christ says, I desire to have a body matches me. So I create the body with myself as a substance of the body for me to be satisfied. And one face, I like it. One face, what? Germinating all the positive things of Christ. One face. In face, all the positive things germinated. You know, I can love you because there's face. I can love the church because there's face. I can love Christians because there's face. I can preach gospel because there's face. I can be a pursuer because there's faith. I can do all the spiritual things unto Christ because there is faith. One faith germinating all the positive things and one baptism terminating all the negative things. Do you know that, young sister? You're saved, right? You're baptized, right? Are you in Ashland University? No, your daughter. It's surprising. All the mom becomes so young. But whatever that is, young sister, do you know one thing? You were baptized. What was the date? I tell you all. I was baptized. 1953, January 17 at about 8:30. Because that's where I was born. You know, when I get into baptism water, I have no idea what is that, right? I thought, I love the Lord, I need to be baptized. And that day, sister, for that one night, there are about 600-700 want to be baptized. And we, at that time, we still have only one hall. So everyone goes to the same baptism pool. It's just like a machine going, you know what I mean? You put in the room, you change your clothes, you walk out, wait, and then you get in the water. They say, they put you, they get up. And once in a while, they pray. So I hope they pray for me, but they didn't, because maybe they think I'm too young, not qualified. But anyway, you know, that time, 450 baptized. The second morning, another 250 baptized. So totally it's what? 700. So about 700 baptized in that 1 3-day gospel, January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, through one local church. The church in Taipei preached gospel for 3 days and 700 baptized. That was the largest anyway. Praise the Lord for that. And to me it was, I got in the water. You know what I mean? So I want to join Christianity. I will be a Christian because I declare I'm a Christian. I'm baptized. Oh, I tell you, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Later, year after year, year after year, I realized my sin was in the water. The things I have committed and will be committed, buried. The things I like, in the water. The things I dislike, in the water. The things occupy me, in the water. The things possess me, in the water. The things take me away from Christ, in the water. Eventually I say, wow, through that baptism, all the negative things are terminated. Amen. Don't you like it? Amen. Oh, the one, what? One phase is a germinating of all the positive things. One baptism terminating all the negative things. Then eventually one God. So after you see one body, there's one body, right? Number one, you see this one body. This one body, you have all these items eventually to one God. Because this body matches this one God. The body of Christ matches this very God. So finally, one God. This one God, the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Overall means abide you. Through all means, no, above you. Overall, right? And through all means pass you. In all means abiding you. He's on top of you. He passed through you. He abides in you. And he tell you, you are my body. Isn't that marvelous? You know, brother, let me say this. After meeting, I complained to the brothers. I said, oh, I feel hard. He said, why you feel hard? I said, the message is no good. He said, no, it's very good. I said, but I don't see amen. Then say, they all say amen, but you can't hear it. Is that true or not?
Amen.
Well, if that's true, then you have to say amen louder.
Amen.
One body.
Amen.
Right? Then what? One spirit.
Amen.
One hope.
Amen.
One Lord.
Amen.
One face.
Amen.
One baptism.
Amen.
One God.
Amen.
Who is above you? Through you and in you to have the reality of the body. Don't you like it? Now you have to say, Lord Jesus, I love the local churches. In the local churches, we can practice such a oneness, endeavoring or diligently to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Sometimes people argue. So he says, no, no. This is merely doctrinal teaching. Practical, we are one in something else. I say, no. Brother, the oneness was mentioned in Ephesians. The oneness is also mentioned in Philippians. In Philippians, that you are one accord in what? In the advancement of the gospel and nothing else. We should be one in the advancement of the gospel, which means we should be one in the pursuing of God's eternal purpose, or we should be one in the enlargement of the body of Christ. Beside this one, brothers, don't produce any oneness. Any other oneness means what? Means divisiveness. Sorry. Brother Buck, I don't know. Tonight I get you. I shouldn't. Because you are so sober.
Have at me.
It's not bad for you or hard on you?
No.
Okay. And Nathan, can you come up too? I like to see two beers. You shave a little, or no?
Trims.
Brother, don't you think these two brothers are very unique? We don't have beers. Look, how come on his brother Bill Gilbert? Just like all other brothers.
Yeah.
He's one with all the brothers. Because he no beer. How sweet is you, brother? Come on. No beer.
No beer.
Yeah. Brother, you too. You too. You too. Brother, you too. You too must shave. For the one's sake. Look, we all don't have a beer. And when you have beers, you get us all in trouble. What kind of trouble, I can't tell you. But I can say, in trouble. Am I right? We don't have beers. Isn't that sweet? And you two have beers. Isn't that peculiar? Brother, I strongly advise you. To you, an older brother, I kindly advise. To you, a young brother, I command. I advise you, dear brother, shave. I command you, brother, shave! You know, brother, what I'm doing? I'm making issues, dividing the body. What's the difference? When you have beer, don't you have a spirit?
Amen.
Don't you have the Lord?
Amen.
Don't you have a face?
Amen.
Don't you have a hope?
Amen.
Isn't everything okay? Then why I insist on beer? You have a beer, don't you still serve? Uh-huh. Are you still a full-timer?
Yeah.
Are you still loving the Lord?
Yeah.
But Titus co-worker, not one of Titus co-workers has a beer. Then,
okay.
Then you have to answer. You have to answer in this way. Then Titus, this work is not spiritual. This work is called a no beer work. The work has nothing to do with who has a beer. Don't make issues. You read the Bible more in the morning or the evening?
More in the morning.
In the morning?
Yes.
Do you read the Bible in the morning and evening?
Definitely.
Brother, let me tell you, that's wrong. Why? No one's clear in the morning.
That's true.
At night, about 11, 12 o'clock, that's where your mind is most clear. I know that. Whatever I want to produce, I produce the most at 12 o'clock. You, brother, got to get my advice. It's advice from an old man. Out of 70 years experience, you should change your morning revival to night revival. And you should read the Bible when your mind is most clear.
Be honest.
Isn't your mind more sharp at night?
I don't know.
Brother, you just consider this. I speak for myself. When I get up in the morning, my eye do not wake up for another half hour. I talk with the medical doctor, eye doctor. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. But I told him, I said, it's a fact. When I get up, my eye, nothing's clear. Everything was, you know, unclear. So I have to wait, wash my hair, face, and finally I began to able to, you know, in the morning I always read with a magnifying glass. You know, I have to, because my eyes sleep, still sleeping. Then number one. Number two, I must have a strong coffee.
Yeah.
Strong, very strong coffee to wake me up.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
You just consider, if you don't have strong coffee, your sinus has problem, your whole body has problem, you're half asleep, how can you have morning watch?
I have it after my coffee.
Oh, you know, brothers, we must raise up a prevailing evening watch church. We forsake morning watch. Whosoever is for morning watch, they're not clear on things. Or we promote a coffee church. Because you got to drink some coffee to be clear, right?
Yes.
So either you are spending time with the Lord in the evenings or drink a lot of coffee in the morning. Make sure. Brother, what I'm doing, I'm dividing the body. Do you get my point or not? What Bible you use, what material you use, how you pursue, how the church life going on, who is following whom, who is your center, who is your minister, who is your apostle, all these things only divide the body. Remember this. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are endeavoring diligently
Amen.
To keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Because we are one body with one Spirit, with one hope, with one Lord, with one faith, with one baptism. And with one God, who is above us, through us, and inside all of us.
Amen.
No more issue. No more issue. Don't argue. Is this doctrinal or practical? Brother, don't argue. We are one.
Amen.
When you don't make issue, we are one. Amen. You know, sister, you might ask, say this. Do you like Chinese? Do you really like Chinese? You see, sister should say, this question must come from hell. Well, why are you asking me this question? Do you get my point? Say, do you like Chinese? Do you really like Chinese? Let's say, yes, I like Chinese. Do you really? Yeah, I like it. Really? Yeah. Are you sure? You are not clear whether you like anything. I'm making an issue. Because in the church life, there's no Chinese. In the body of Christ, he produced a church. Slain the enemies, right? So making peace. The body here is a life of peace with its marvelous oneness. Praise the Lord for this. Thank you, brother. So the next, every church, every local church needs to grow and be built up in love. Why? Through the operation of some as what? As apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers in the body. I like it. How many some, Bill? How many some? Four is some. I don't know, but at least it's not few. It's not a few. It's some, right? So for the church life, you should realize there are some apostles. We have this kind of real funny question. One day, one brother asked, Brother Lee is no longer with us. Who are the apostles? I look at him, I said, you must be a mental case. Even when Brother Lee was with us, there are many apostles. Why you have to say only one brother is apostle? For sure, he's a great apostle. Do you get my point or not? Among the contemporary apostles, he might be the greatest. But still, there are some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers. There are numbers of them. Together, they serve us. Don't you like it? I like it, brother. Some take away a lot of pressures. Someone tell me, Titus, are you apostle? All of a sudden, make me very nervous. If I say yes, how proud are you? If I say no, why should I have self-abase? Do you get my point? Are you apostle? Then the best answer is, oh yeah, there are some apostles. Do you understand the way I answer? For instance, you try to ask me, sister. Oh, yeah, there's some apostles. So am I? Am I, the Lord says? You know. Do you get my point or not? I tell you, we make things peculiar. Because we say there's only one apostle. Eventually, listen, the word came out. Brother Lee is the acting God. I tell you, when I heard this, I was more than offended. Nobody can act for God.
God is God. We honor brotherly. We respect brotherly. We love brotherly. We are from his ministry. We know our source. But I would say even brotherly would stand up, shout loudly, I am not God and neither am I acting God. God is God. Nobody can be acting God. Because we are so much in religion, we come to this kind of nonsense, acting God. You know, brother, don't. We should realize some apostles, some prophets. Come on, Bill. Come on, Bill. Are you a prophet?
Sometimes.
Are you a prophet?
There are some.
Are you a prophet?
Sure.
You say you get caught. Either sometimes or sure. You just say, are you a prophet? There are some prophets. That's how restful that is. Yeah. Are you a prophet?
There are some prophets.
Are you one of them?
How should I answer?
Still, don't answer. Oh. Still, there are some prophets. Are you one of them?
There are some.
There are some prophets. Brother, isn't that relaxing? Now we can say there are some apostles. Very relaxed. Some prophets. Very relaxed. Some evangelists. Very relaxed. Am I right? Jim, are you an apostle? Yeah. Are you a prophet? Are you an evangelist? Oh, how good that is. Right? I don't have to answer you. It's you. You have problem. That's why you ask these kind of funny questions. Do you know that in God's government, there are some apostles? Brother Cliff and SKP, will you become apostle? Come on, come on. Well, he is a wild young man. Brother Cleve and SKP, Columbus residents, will you become a young apostle?
There's some apostles.
Will you be one of them?
There's some.
I tell you, that's the best answer. Will you be one of them? There's some apostles. That is, even I am one, so what? There's some. Why say, listen, I says Evans. Am I right?
Yeah.
Not Bob Evans, right? I says Evans, I will be the apostle. You know something's wrong. Do you get my point or not? Then he says, oh, brother, you know, it's all lost mercy. I don't believe I'll ever be apostle. Is there something wrong? Because just a statement means he is, that English word, is that useful? Lust after? Lust, L-U-S-T, after the apostleship. You get my point? I don't think I'll ever be apostle. I don't think I'll ever be apostle. The brother looked at him. Who said he would be apostle anyway? Why you are so? You should have the lust after becoming an apostle. But isn't that very normal? Don't you believe the Lord will use him as one of the apostles? I was not at all surprised. You are only 20 what?
Five.
Only 25. So young, right? Give him 20 more years at age 45. He traveled to Africa. Isn't he an apostle? He traveled to South America. Isn't he an apostle? But when he traveled to Africa, he come back. Oh, the apostle come back. The Lord tell him, there are some apostles. So what's so special about it? Why you have to make such a peculiar effort to declare a status? Apostle is a function, an operation, not a status. So, will you be apostle?
There's some apostles.
Will Nathan be apostle?
There's some apostles.
Will Jeffries be apostle?
There's some apostles.
Oh, that's so good. Everybody's so happy. Praise the Lord. There are some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some what?
Shepherds
and teachers. What do they do? Here it says, through the operation of these. Then what? Through the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministry.
where you are, whether you are an apostle or a prophet, one thing you do, you perfect the saints. Isn't that good? Hey, let me ask you, young brother. Oh, I tell you, these are winners, overcomers, fruit bearers. These are the stars among the local churches. Three of them in 4 months, they got 31 fruits. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I right?
Something like that.
Nathan, am I right? Come on. Let me ask you something. Come on. I love you. Jeff, I let you go today because you are a nice person. I like to work with hard ones. Brother, you bear 31 fruit in 120 days?
I wouldn't put that in writing.
but you did gain 31 fruit in 120 days.
No, I don't think so.
Well, you just said it. How come you lie immediately? It got to be one lie, right? You just said 31. Didn't they just say 31? Oh, okay. So you got 25 in 120 days?
About.
You gained 25 in 120 days?
About.
You bear 25 in 120 days? Mm-hmm. You have 25 fruit in 120 days? And you brothers are so successful, you bring 25. Are they Chinese?
No.
Who are they?
Caucasians.
Oh, they are first class citizens. You brought 25 first class citizens into the church life in the 120 days? Are you? Yeah. You brought 25 in 120 days?
Not personally.
My second question says, they're in the church life?
Yeah.
They love the Lord?
Yeah.
Do they know what is a local church?
They know there's, yeah.
They really know the local church?
Getting there.
Do they know they have to receive help from the servant of the Lord?
Yeah, there's only 120 days.
Oh, that's a good argument. Okay, write down how many days that you will perfect them to a point they know they should get help from the servants of the Lord.
I don't know.
You know, brother, perfecting is not easy. Either you are barren, you don't bring anybody, right? Or you bring a lot, but never perfect them. Oh, we got all these people, and they all love the Lord, and they all love Jesus. They all come to meetings, and they even function. But do they say the local church? Do they say body of Christ? No. Do they say local church? No. Do they think they need to be perfect? No. Do they see God's economy? No. Do they say their life belongs to the Lord's testimony? No. Then you know perfecting has problems. You went there sent by the church, right? Mm-hmm. As small apostles to work in halls free. Apostle means sent. So you are apostle to a house free. Same word. Apostle means sent, right? So you were sent to house free, you apostle to house free. Same thing. So you two are apostle to house free by the elders here. Am I right? And you are so successful. And 120 days, you brought 25. Praise the Lord. And they're first class citizens. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I can say it because I'm a banana too. So I'm a second class, but I'm happy. In the church life, no first and no second class, right? But you got all this Caucasian so far, the college student hopeful, right? But remember this song. If you do not know how to perfect them, unto what? Unto the work of ministry. Ministry means New Testament ministry. Means the ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. If they do not know the work of Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, then if they are not perfected, your labor is in vain. Have you perfected them?
Some ways.
Let me try to figure out. The first thing they heard, we will have a conference here. The first thought your brother says, no, we don't bring them over.
Am I right?
I would say my thought.
Yeah.
I don't know about Seth's.
Yeah. Is that your thought?
Yeah.
Oh, that's getting serious. Isn't that serious? I love you, brother. Are you bothered?
No.
No, it's okay. Brother, do you realize it's your job to bring them into the family life? Whether the family life is pleasant, family life is unpleasant, it's your job to perfect the sons, to know that we're not for a good time. We're not for the songs with the music, the old ones do not how to sing. Actually, let me tell you, the songs you brothers enjoy tonight is very hard for me. The first tune is so moody. I don't understand why you need to sing a song that moody. Look like monks murmuring. The second one is better. But think about just a word. Christ reign in me, right?
Reign in me and in your power.
Yeah, Lord, reign in me in power. In my dreams. What kind of song is this? Let me read you. Sorry, shouldn't be. Don't be bothered. Whosoever selects some, please don't be bothered. That you will reign in me again. Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams. What is that?
All my thoughts for the future, where I'm going in life, Lord. You be the one reigning in all of it.
Brother, we Christians are very practical. We don't have dreams. We have ambitions. The world people has dreams. Oh, you can say over all my days. That rhymes. Over all my days. Over all my ambitions. Over all my expectations. Over all what I ever want. Brother. Do you know? To get them saved is a marvelous thing. To perfect them is harder. And to bring them to realize your life, your operation is one way is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Oh, that is high. Unto the work of ministry. Thank you. Is that okay? Why don't you sit over there? You come up easier. Unto the work of ministry. You know, remember, the word ministry become inclusive word. The English translation is no good. With the article the, unto the work of the ministry. There should be no the, unto the work of ministry. Actually, in some of the recovery version, there should be unto the work of ministry. They delete the word the. Unto the work of ministry. Just like what? The word ministry become inclusive. Remember, God says, let us make man. Not the man. Not a man. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. It is one unique man, Adam. But this man includes all the men. This unique, one unique ministry of Jesus Christ. But this ministry includes many, many New Testament ministers. Do you get my point or not? Unto the work of ministry of Jesus Christ. With what? The help of many, many ministers who are the apostles, who are the prophets, who are the evangelists. These are the ministers in ministry to perfect us. For the perfecting of us unto the work of ministry. Okay, we have to go real fast. Then, until we arrive at the full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's it. And with a sense holding to truth in love. In other words, how the gifts ones, the gifts, perfect us. With the perfection of the gifts, we, brothers, we, here we have to learn to hold reality in love. Then what? Here says, number one, they may grow up into him in all things who is the head, Christ. So, how do you know you grow? Bill, how do you know you grow? How do you know the church grow? That they may grow up into the ministry, into the ministry, into the ministry, into the ministry. Brother, don't be stupid. Into the ministry. Brother, we are funny people. Into Titus teaching. Into
him.
Titus teaching. Into
him.
Titus teaching. Into
him.
Titus into Bible knowledge. Into
him. Him.
Bible knowledge. Into
him.
Revelations. Brother, yes, there's Bible knowledge. There's a ministry teaching. There's a ministry. There's Titus teaching. All this should bring you to him.
Amen.
We're not a Bible study church. We're not the church of a certain ministry. We are bearing the testimony of Lord Jesus through localities as an expression of the body of Christ.
Amen.
That we grow up into him. Then point three, first, comes from what? Every joint of rich supply and the operation in the measure of each one part. You know, the Bible portrays us in three ways. We are either a joint or a part or a member. The member can be a joint. The member can be a part. But overall, it's either a joint or a part or a member. You know, brother, I never understand it. I have read this many times. I asked the Lord, Lord, why you use the word each part and not each member? Until one day, my shoulder got me into trouble. To the extent, right in the meeting, I want to write something. I cannot hold the chalk, whatever. Then I want to write. There's no strength to write. At that time, I told myself, right where I give message, self-speaking, inwardly, as I'm finished, my hand is gone. Do you get my hand is gone. I was actually very, very unhappy. What's wrong with me that, you know why? Because I speak and it's all wet. When it's all wet, it affects your muscle, whatever. So you can't write anymore. So I found a chiropractor, Brother Huang. You know, he's a chiropractor. I said, what's wrong with me? He says, you move around. He says, you disjoint. Your joint has problem. So he a few times. Wow, that was painful, but they push it back. Then he take me to his office. He has a way to treat you. Oh, the treat was painful. Sometimes you have to shout real loud to get over it. But for some reason, after 1 month, he come back again. After 1 month, he come back again. One day I went there again, this last visit, he says something honest. He says, Brother Titus, I advise you to exercise every day to build up your muscle so your joint can stay. All of a sudden I say, hallelujah, now I know what is parts.
Amen.
Do you get my point or not? Here's a joint. Surrounding this joint, there are all these muscles, right? He told me you should use a bar like this, lift a bar. 150 times a day. Brother, 15 times is painful already. 105 times, that's already like to kill you. But 105 times a day. So I take shortcut, I push like this. I tell brother, lift up higher. So I thought I can have the shortcut. But eventually the brother said, if your muscle's not good, your joint doesn't work. And the muscle is not the member. Muscle is a part. Maybe the part you don't even know. But do you realize without your part, the joint doesn't work? Oh, I'm so happy. I'm thankful that I got this suffering experience for a few years. I'm thankful that I was painful for a few years because now I understand the Bible.
Amen.
I begin to realize every joint needs the support, supply of the parts.
Amen.
If I ask you, young sister. Sister, sorry. If I ask you, sister. What kind of member you are? Yeah, most likely says, I don't know. Are you a hand? I don't know. Are you a feet? I don't know. A foot? I don't know. Are you an eye? I don't know. But I know one thing though. I'm a good supporter. I'm a part. As long as the part here operates healthy, the shoulder will not disjoint. Do you get my point? The joint would work so well. Brother, I'm so thankful. By Lord's mercy, may I say that I'm a joint. What kind of joint? That's beyond me. The Lord knows. But I'm a joint. Am I right?
Amen.
Do you know that? This joint needs a lot of parts. all the powers come into the meeting, I like to listen to your message. Oh, you speak so funny. Hey, and you get the brother, put the brothers on the spot. Hallelujah. Amen. Not me. Amen. Brother, you are terrible. You have to learn to say, brother, you are a joint. When you operate, we are the powers. We back you up. We support you. We establish you. Joint and parts work together for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
How about that? Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
The joint and the parts work together to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Then finally, point two, that they may be joined together and knit together. The verse, out from whom, the Lord, all the body, being joined together and being knit together. Isn't that marvelous? We're joined together, we knit together. Through what? Through the joint of supply, through the support of operation of every part. All the muscle operates where the joint exercises the gift the Lord has given to him. How good is the church life? This is the expression of the body of Christ. And this is the local church life.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy. Can we stop the meeting here? Have one brother pray. Close the meeting.